With Baghdad no longer in Saddam Hussein's control, the United States and Great Britain were quick to launch a new television service in Iraq today. It replaces five state-run channels, and they kicked off today's broadcast with special messages from President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Reuters reporters on the ground said that due to limited power in Baghdad, it's not clear how many Iraqis were actually able to hear this broadcast. But let's listen. Here's the message broadcast by President Bush.
This is George W. Bush, the President of the United States. At this moment, the regime of Saddam Hussein is being removed from power, and a long era of fear and cruelty is ending. American and coalition forces are now operating inside Baghdad, and we will not stop until Saddam's corrupt gang is gone. The government of Iraq and the future of your country will soon belong to you. The goals of our coalition are clear and limited. We will end a brutal regime whose aggression and weapons of mass destruction make it a unique threat to the world. Coalition forces will help maintain law and order so that Iraqis can live in security. We will respect your great religious traditions whose principles of equality and compassion are essential to Iraq's future. We will help you build a peaceful and representative government that protects the rights of all citizens. And then our military forces will leave. Iraq will go forward as a unified, independent, and sovereign nation that has regained a respected place in the world. The United States and its coalition partners respect the people of Iraq. We are taking unprecedented measures to spare the lives of innocent Iraqi citizens. We are beginning to deliver food and water and medicine to those in need. Our only enemy is Saddam and his brutal regime, and that regime is your enemy as well. In the new era that is coming to Iraq, your country will no longer be held captive to the will of a cruel dictator. You will be free, free to build a better life instead of building more palaces for Saddam and his sons, free to pursue economic prosperity without the hardship of economic sanctions, free to travel and free to speak your mind, free to join in the political affairs of Iraq. And all the people who make up your country, Kurds, Shia, Turkmens, Sunnis, and others, will be free of the terrible persecution that so many have endured. The nightmare that Saddam Hussein has brought to your nation will soon be over. You are a good and gifted people, the heirs of a great civilization that contributes to all humanity. You deserve better than tyranny and corruption and torture chambers. You deserve to live as free people. And I assure every citizen of Iraq, your nation will soon be free. Thank you.
We're going to talk about the audience for these messages, what the message is, and about its effectiveness. But we also want your calls. What should the United States and Britain be broadcasting to the Iraqi people? What should the message that we send them today be? Our telephone number again, 800-989-8255. Our email address, totn@npr.org. Joining us now is Nancy Snow, the author, most recently, of Information War, American Propaganda, Free Speech, and Opinion Control Since 9/11. She's with us by phone from her home in Los Angeles. Good to have you back on the program.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Also with us is Akbar Ahmed, author of Discovering Islam, Making Sense of Muslims, History, and Society. Good to speak with you.
Hello. Hi.
Nancy Snow, what did you think of the message that President Bush broadcast?
Well, I thought it was a lot of promises, some very big promises, and I think that there's going to be difficulty in making sure that these promises are met in a short time. There sounded like he was telling them that they will soon be free, but it was begging the questions of what will replace the regime that they have. There was a lot of acknowledgement. They already know they're living under a brutal dictatorship, or they have. And what type of liberation, to use the language of the administration, will they then end up with? What kind of a new government will come into place? The interesting thing, too, Neil, is that this is what they've replaced one state-run media for another. So this is coming. This is being broadcast from the Department of Defense. This is the military approach to a message. And I think you definitely need other messages and certainly put in place as soon as possible a more free and independent media, not just a government-run media.
Akbar Ahmed, as I understand it, these messages are being broadcast on the same frequency as old Iraqi state television, but unclear how many people have electricity to watch the broadcast today. But what did you think of the message?
I thought, Neil, it's a very interesting message. I felt it's a positive message. I think that he's touching the right things in the Iraqi mind, in the Iraqi psyche. He's talked about freedom. He's talked about the future. But more important, Neil, something that's often been missed out in the discussion, he's really talking about Iraqi pride and Iraqi tradition. These things are always overlooked, and Iraq does have a very old history, glorious past, and he did refer to this. So in a sense, he's also saying, look, you've been a great people, and here's your chance to once again, as it were, enter the mainstream of world history and world civilization. Now, having said all this, this is, of course, a direct message to the quote-unquote ordinary Iraqi. The fact of the matter is that this is a very critical moment of transition when one regime has collapsed, it's in its last stages, dying throes, and the new regime that's going to take its place has not quite firmly taken over in Baghdad, the capital city of Iraq. So you have the gray areas where there's looting and there's firing and there's suicide bombs and the Shia cleric has been killed. And this begins to reflect a kind of internal anarchy that may be developing. So Bush's message, which is grand and the broad sweep of history, and very quickly on the ground, the need to have firm administration, clear law and order, a clear sense of direction in terms of the federation principle for the main tribes and sectarian groups within Iraq, and an idea ordinary people have that things will become normal in terms of their daily lives.
We're talking about the messages broadcast to Iraqi people today, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get listeners involved, and let's hear what they think about what the messages ought to be. And why don't we begin with Tony, who's with us from Kansas City, Missouri. Tony? Tony? I guess Tony is not there. Let's try instead to go to Mark, who's with us from Miami.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I think it's a wonderful program that you have here.
Thank you.
I think that there's probably not very many people watching TV without electricity. So for right now, maybe they should hand out a lot of flyers. And I hate to pry on people's religious beliefs, but say something like Allah calls on you to be calm and peaceful and calls on your people to for volunteers to repair the water and electric plants and for volunteers to help distribute food and medicine and set up checkpoints or not necessarily checkpoints, but processing points for the volunteers. And also on the flyers, write down the TV channels that we're broadcasting on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of these problems are going to be taken care of by volunteers from the Iraqi people themselves.
Let's divide that question into two. Nancy Snow, what's the significance, and I assume they are handing out flyers as well, a lot of leaflets dropped in this campaign, but Nancy Snow, what's the significance of doing this on television and presumably radio as well? And again, though people don't have electricity, presumably they'll repeat these messages on and on.
Well, I think symbolically it sends a message that there is a transition in place and that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that I think the promise, too, that they're not going to stay there forever, but the Iraqi people are going to be able to create their own government. I would agree with the other speaker here that there is an acknowledgement of a great tradition, a great history, and I think the administration needs to reinforce this
mm-hmm.
message that and play into the themes of a historical precedent of the seat of civilization and not come across as too patronizing, as if your liberators are here to free you from the reins of tyranny.
Yeah.
They have to really build a partnership with Iraqi people, and I know the government is trying to do that. They're trying to work with Iraqi, not just those in exile, but those internally who can act as messengers and will be probably seen as more credible messengers, because, of course, we know that this
Nancy,
war
I hate to cut
remains
you.
Very unpopular.
I just wanted to get a response quickly from Akbar Ahmed. Should the United States and Britain be talking about Allah, the other part of Mark's message? And you just got 30 seconds, I'm afraid.
I think Mark has touched on something very important, and I congratulate Mark, because basically he is understanding that when you are in different cultures outside the United States, the first thing you do is try to understand the local context. And what he's really saying is cultural sensitivity, which President Bush has shown. And surprisingly and very impressively, you saw that incident on television when those young American soldiers who could have walked into a situation which would have resulted in deaths and destruction to one of the mosques, the Ali Mosque in one of the cities, they showed a great deal of
sensitivity. And I'm afraid we're going to have to pick this up after we return from the break. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday for a look at recent fusion experiments, the role of forensic scientists in Iraq, and managing risk in uncertain times. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Today, we're talking about Iraq and U.S. and British propaganda efforts to frame the most recent events. Earlier today, President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair broadcast messages to the Iraqi people. Earlier, we heard President Bush's message. Now, let's hear a bit of Prime Minister Blair's tape.
This is Tony Blair, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. I'm glad to be able to speak to you today to tell you that Saddam Hussein's regime is collapsing, that the years of brutality, oppression, and fear are coming to an end. I know, however, that some of you feared a repeat of 1991, when you thought Saddam's rule was being ended, but he stayed and you suffered. That will not happen this time. This regime will be gone and ended. And then we will work with you to build the peaceful, prosperous Iraq that you want and that you deserve. And this Iraq will not be run by Britain, or by the United States, or by the United Nations. It will be run by you, the people of Iraq. So it is in the spirit of friendship and goodwill that we now offer our help. Thank you.
Our guests are Akbar Ahmed, the chair of Islamic Studies Department at American University here in Washington, D.C., and Nancy Snow, the author of Propaganda Incorporated, Selling America's Culture to the World. If you want to get in on the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. And I wanted to read this email we got from Vish. And he or she wrote, I think the USA and Britain need to be very careful in how they come across to the people of Iraq. Instead of Bush or Blair speaking on television, it will help if elders and some famous local leaders of Iraq come on television and give the message of Iraqi liberation. Also, Vish adds, coalition soldiers need to be very careful in how they behave in and around mosques. They need to show respect to the Muslim religion. And Akbar, that's what you were talking about just before the break, that incident. I believe it was in Karbala, in which U.S. soldiers faced an angry crowd that thought they were going to take over the mosque and kneeled down and put their weapons down and then eventually walked away.
Absolutely. I think they have, on the whole, been very sensitive about mosques and women and the traditional things that most traditional societies hold in reverence. At the same time, there's also, and that's it's quite right to wish to point out, a great deal of anger, a great deal of outrage, a great deal of uncertainty in the Iraqi population. They're seeing television, particularly the Arab television, and they're seeing scenes of death and destruction. And this is a war. This is actually a war where people die. So we need to, in this war and in this conflict and chaos, try to build as many bridges as we can. And I think that President Bush's message very clearly points to this attempt at bridge building. There wasn't any of the gloating of the victor. There wasn't any of the triumphalism of the victor. And he may have been justified if he had reflected that. But I thought it was a sober, reflective, or with an element of compassion in it, which I thought was very strong.
Let's go now to Brad, who joins us on the line from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I think new freedoms for Iraqis aside, I think the most important thing for either Bush or Blair to communicate to Iraqis is to validate what I believe most Iraqis are going to be concerned about very shortly, which is the occupation of Iraq by U.S. and allied forces. And I think that perhaps our interests would best be served by bringing these concerns to the fore and specifically address them. But I don't think we should pretend that to ignore them or assume that Iraqis are not concerned about this.
Well, they did mention, we just heard Tony Blair's statement saying that they would help reestablish a government and then leave.
Yes, but I think that the establishment of a government is fine, but when you have allied troops, visibly in the city, I think within a very short period of time, a lot of Iraqis are going to be asking, well, that's great, we appreciate the new freedom, but when are you going to leave?
Well, Nancy Snow, let me ask you about that. There's always one of the lessons you learn about propaganda is the more truth in it, the better.
That's right. I think their immediate concern that they'll have is for their humanitarian needs. I saw images yesterday at the same time we saw the statues of Saddam Hussein coming down. There were people begging for water all over Iraq, for food, for medicine, as much as possible. If they can bring in that immediate need, I think then the message that President Bush and Tony Blair are delivering will certainly be more accepted. But if it comes across that it's just an occupation and that over weeks and months to come those immediate needs are not being addressed, I think these words will fall flat over time. But I would agree, though, with Akbar that I think there is definitely a sign of more cultural sensitivity. My only question is that when it comes to these propaganda type messages, you have to separate the message from the messenger. And while there may be sort of a euphoric moment in which Blair and Bush are embraced, that may not last. And I do agree with the earlier caller, Vici, that you need to bring in other people who are more really adept at the traditions of Iraq and can speak to those immediate concerns that the people have.
Plus, those tapes are only 6 minutes long. It's going to be hard to fill up a whole radio television station with just those tapes. You better get somebody else to broadcast.
That's right.
Brad, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Tony, and Tony's with us from Kansas City.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Neil. Thank you very much. I've been driving around in a car, written a couple of three things down. I appreciate your show. I think America, through President Bush, has started a better life for Iraq. Number two, the future of their country is in their hands. We have removed, for the Iraqis and for the world, a lot of fear and the bad government. Number three, it's an unprecedented care by American soldiers for the Iraqi people, mm-hmm. the mosques, and their religion. Number four, I think that that Iraq should make the world proud of Iraqi people by using this as the American people who came to America from Europe working and build America to the country that it is, the great country for everybody. I just hope that the rest of the world would not be on the take from America. They should respect what America has done.
Well, okay, Tony, thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Akbar Ahmed, let's go back to that point that he was talking about. Essentially, you mentioned the appeal to the pride of the Iraqi people.
I agree with Tony that there has to be that idealistic vision that drives a society, and Tony's right to reach for it. However, as a realist, I'm afraid that that may not work that easily or smoothly in Iraq today, and let me tell you why. You're seeing scenes of chaos and looting. You're seeing scenes of people taking revenge because they've been pent up, their fury has been pent up, and they're taking revenge from people who may have tortured them or tormented them. Now, what you're seeing, in fact, is a kind of breakdown of law and order. And unless that is restored very, very quickly, you're going to see ancient rivalries between sects and between tribes begin to emerge. And then Tony's vision of a harmonious society aiming towards a vision of a joint progressive Iraq will be completely negated. And that, whether it's humanitarian aid that Nancy talked about or any kind of United Nations assistance, all that will come to a standstill because people will be fighting and killing each other in the streets. So the first priority has to be immediate restoration of a civil authority backed by the army, that here we are, we're not intending to stay, but we need to have law and order so people can live ordinary lives without fear of being killed or raped or kidnapped.
Let's get one more caller in. Susan joins us from Boston.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Just a quick, couple of quick comments. Is number one is Bush's speech. He kept on repeating that the brutal regime and palaces and all that. It's just like the Iraqi people have already suffered enough, and they knew what they have gone through, and the rest of the world had been watching all along. So that, I really don't think that the message has been very well taken. The other thing which I thought the Blair speech was more cogent, and the mentioning of 1991 would really have a, like a kind of an impact that take away the, you know, uncertainty from people's mind what's going to happen at this time. So acknowledging some of the things which has happened is maybe more important. And I quite agree with one of your emailer that it should have come from their own elite or their own people, either the religious people or something, rather than just coming Bush and Blair all of a sudden with them like a 24 hours of so-called victory on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, yeah, the 91 reference, of course, to the reference to the Shia and Kurdish uprisings that the then coalition did not respond to and was they were crushed by Saddam Hussein's forces. Susan, I think you're going to get the last word there. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
And I wanted to thank our guest, Nancy Snow, an assistant professor in the College of Communications at California State University Fullerton, author of Information War, American Propaganda, Free Speech, and Opinion Control Since 9/11. She was on the phone from her home in Los Angeles. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Akbar Ahmed, the chair of Islamic Studies at American University here in Washington, and he was with us from his office there. And good to speak with you, sir.
Thank you, Neil.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.